This episode of the Infamous Podcast is brought to you by the Flying Pork Apparel Company.
The Flying Pork Apparel Company is an awfully long name to fit into a 15-second ad. We're most likely going to have to cut it short, but our designer tees and customer services are like way long on quality. Visit flyingporkapparel.com and shirt yourself, folks. Thank you.
Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is Brian.
This is Johnny.
And this week, we are talking movie trailers. So normally, around this time, you know, we would do our, like, certified infamous lists.
Would it be, like, this
like, the best
this
of?
This week?
Yeah, like, normally we'd start around this week.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking we wait until after Star Wars comes out to do them. Because the last 3 years, we haven't had, or last 2 years, we haven't been able to talk about the Star Wars movies in context of being one of the best movies of the year, whether we thought it was or wasn't.
Which was okay.
Right, but we just kind of assumed it was going to be on our list, and then...
I mean, yeah. I never assumed it was going to be on my list. I just didn't care either way.
Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking we could just do it after that. We could do TV shows next week if we wanted. Top five certified infamous shows of the year.
Sure.
But... this week, we're talking movie trailers, because a butt ton of movie trailers came out in the last couple weeks, and three interesting. Well, I said last couple weeks, there's been a bunch, but this last week, there were three really interesting ones that came out.
Cats.
Yes, Cats. Rent 2.
No, I'm kidding. Cats did have a new trailer.
I watched the first trailer for that, and I'm good.
The second trailer made me go, I don't want to watch this until like it's on HBO.
Did the first trailer make you want to watch it?
The first trailer was like, well, this looks interesting.
All right.
The second one, I'm like, yeah, I don't really need to watch this.
So we had Wonder Woman. We had Free Guy, the Ryan Reynolds one that looks kind of interesting.
The video game.
The video game one.
Yeah.
And then we had Ghostbusters
Ready Player
Afterlife.
Two.
Yeah. Kind of, but like not. More like Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah.
Because the games are sentient, you know.
Yes.
Well, let's talk about, why don't we talk about
Free
Guy?
Well, that's the thing. In that movie, it doesn't look like they're aware of what they are.
They're not. Like, that's the thing. He gains, like,
right.
Sentience and figures it out.
And becomes a free guy.
Right. So because he's a... so we'll talk about that one first. He's a an NPC, non-playable character.
Yeah.
And his job is to just get killed or robbed or beat up. And
yeah, he works at a bank.
And so he's like, oh, there's got to be more to this. And then, bam.
Decides to make a move.
Yeah. So it's him, Jodie Comer, C-O-M-E-R.
No idea.
No idea what she's in. And then Joe Keery from Stranger Things. And then Taika Waititi looks like he's the big boss, like the bad guy.
Like the bad guy,
yeah. And Channing Tatum is listed in the cast, but they don't say what he is yet. But yeah, this looks really funny. I don't know if I need to see it in the theater. I kind of want to, you know?
Yeah.
But it doesn't come out until July 3rd anyway, so we have plenty of time.
Right.
But yeah, okay, let's
see. There'll be three more trailers for it.
Yeah, no kidding. So Jodie Comer did a lot of TV. Law & Order UK.
Oh, okay.
Killing Eve. Oh, she was in 16 episodes of Killing Eve. As far as movies, nothing big. Two short films. England Is Mine and something where she played herself. Oh, another short film.
Okay.
Called Either Way. But yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty like, I don't know. I like Ryan Reynolds.
Sure.
I think he's fun. You know, even it'll be interesting him and Taika team back up, because I don't think they've done anything together since Green Lantern.
Was Taika in Green Lantern?
Yeah, he was the mechanic for Ferris Air.
Oh, he was Pie Face?
Pie. Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
I try to forget that movie.
I know. It's pretty forgettable, but. Or you should put it out of your mind.
I was
going to
say, I haven't
possible.
Watched it since the second when I bought it. The second time I had it.
Yeah. The video game was much better than the freaking movie.
The cartoon was much better than the
movie.
Well,
yeah. The Green Lantern animated series was awesome. But yeah, I don't know. It's good. It's original. It's not based off of anything. It's just a new story.
Well, I mean, it's based off of stuff, but it's not based off of a
existing
property.
So, directed by Sean Levy.
Yeah, Kalmaku. So. Yeah. Okay. Clayface.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway, yeah.
Sean Levy. Why is the name familiar?
He directed Big Fat Liar, Just Married, Cheaper by the Dozen.
Oh, okay.
The
okay.
Night at the Museum, Real Steel, The Internship.
So he's got experience with that stuff.
Yep. So yeah, it's one of those things.
I mean, the movie looks fun. It looks interesting. So that's
all I want out of a summer movie for the most part. Fun and interesting. And then we had Ghostbusters Afterlife come out. I was a little underwhelmed by Ghostbusters Afterlife, to be honest. But I'm also not the biggest Ghostbusters fan. Like, I like it.
Sure.
It's good. I'll watch it. Like, I don't go out of my way to watch it. I do like that Jason Reitman is writing and producing, so we'll see what he does with it.
Right. It's that the whole thing where he knows the movie because his dad worked on both of the originals, so I'm sure he'll do a fine job.
Yeah. It has Carrie Coon in it. I really liked her in pretty much anything I've ever seen her
in. Leftovers.
The Leftovers. She was good in Gone Girl.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I think this is an interesting cast, though, with her and then Finn Wolfhard, Paul Rudd.
Well, they had to cast people who looked like Harold Ramis.
Yeah. So
Finn Wolfhard looks like Harold Ramis, like a young Harold Ramis. So
a lot of people are thinking the girl, Phoebe, is Egon's daughter or granddaughter.
Yeah.
And Carrie Coon is his daughter.
Finn Wolfhard would be his grandson.
Are they related?
Brother and sister.
They are. Okay. Yeah. I didn't get that. Oh, I guess we knew that from the thing that they said last year. When
you
got to
watch
the
trailer.
Yeah, I guess I got to watch it again. And then Paul Rudd is Mr. Gooberson.
Okay.
So, all right. And then we've got Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Ernie Hudson, Sigourney Weaver, and Annie Potts all coming back.
I'm telling you that he's Oliver. Paul Rudd is Sigourney Weaver's son. Undercover or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. The whole town with the tectonic, there's no tectonic plates and all that stuff. There's, you know, that convenience that he's there and he's the teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did like that's a really cool replica. And they had no idea what he was talking about. So, my buddy Carlo, you've met Carlo.
Yeah.
He's a real Ghostbuster of Ohio. You know, he's part like James. And he,
Bokeem Woodbine?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I haven't seen, what was the last thing he was in?
I don't know, but he's awesome.
He is. Do you remember the movie, what was it called? It was Mark Wahlberg's first movie. Or maybe he wasn't. Maybe that wasn't him.
What are you talking about? Four Brothers?
No, the first one he did, where he was the hitman. With Lou Gossett Jr. It wasn't Bokeem Woodbine. He wasn't in that. But I thought he was for some reason. Oh, no, that was Stinky Fingers. Never mind. The guy that was Blade on
the
Blade
movie
TV
was
series.
That?
The hit, it was. I think it was just called The Hitman.
Oh, okay.
But you've never seen that?
No. I'm rushing to watch Mark Wahlberg movies.
I just remember because it was the very first thing he ever, like, ever movie he ever did, like, where he was a star.
So I don't think Carrie Coon is Egon's daughter.
No.
I think that she'll be the, you know, the dad died and it was Egon's son type thing. Or the dad disappeared and it was Egon's son. That kind of makes more sense.
Okay.
To me.
So, it was called The Big Hit.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, I remember that movie.
It was not
so
good.
So that's McKenna Grace.
Oh, no, he is. It was Bokeem Woodbine in it.
McKenna Grace is playing Phoebe.
Yeah.
Cool.
What else has she been in?
The Haunting of Hill House.
Oh, I never watched those.
The movie with Chris Evans, where he's her uncle and she's a genius.
Was that her?
Yes.
Oh, I have seen that. That's a really good movie.
I forget the name of it, but yeah, that's Gifted.
Gifted, yeah. Oh, she was young Captain Marvel or young Carol Danvers.
Yes. Yeah.
She was young Tanya Harding. Yeah. Interesting. All right. I've seen a bunch with her in it.
She was on Fuller House.
Yeah.
You've watched that.
I have not. I've seen a little bit of it. I haven't watched a whole lot of it, though.
I did not know she was on Sabrina. Hmm. She must have shown up in a flashback. She's playing young Sabrina Spellman.
Okay.
Everything she plays young. Young Theo.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. I thought the effects in the trailer looked pretty good for a movie that's not coming out for a little while. July 10th for this one. They've been working on it for a while.
We had to see was Slimer, and we got Slimer.
Yeah.
And it so that was really like the only thing you really needed to like go, oh yeah, they're Slimer.
I'm interested to learn like how if they inherently know how to use like the proton packs and stuff like that, or like the trial and error of trying to figure
it out.
It's gonna be the
trial and error for them until one of the real Ghostbusters shows up.
How much comedy do you think is gonna be in this?
I think it'll be, you know, like the other ones where it's got the scary and the comedy.
So
because, I mean, like in the original, when Rick Moranis is getting chased by the dog, that's scary and funny at the same time.
Hilarious, yeah.
So, you know, it's like that kind of the horror comedy stuff. I'm sure that, you know, Ivan Reitman's a producer on this thing. Yeah. So it's not like Jason's just going in on his own and being like, hey, I'm going to do it my way. It's like, so, you know, it's cool. I mean, it'll be fine.
Did you watch the one with Kate McKinnon, or was that her? What's her name? They got that right.
Yeah, Kate McKinnon and Melissa Kristen McBride. Wigg
and Melissa Kristen McBride. And yeah, Leslie I watched Johnson. It. Did you like it?
It was okay. So I think, like, as strong of a comedic group of women that they had,
yeah,
the funniest person in the movie is Chris Hemsworth.
So you saw Vacation, right? The Ed Helms one?
Yeah, with Chris Hemsworth. Yeah.
Chris Hemsworth is the funniest person in that movie.
But, like, The effects in that movie are fantastic.
Are they?
The creatures, the ghosts, the monsters in it, like I would say monsters because some of them look like just straight up monsters, like beautiful.
Yeah.
Like when they when the ghosts get loose in the world and they're in New York, it's beautiful shot. It probably looked awesome if they did it in 3D.
Yeah.
They looked really good. And I mean, you know, it was some CG and some practical. But I was like, that's impressive. But on a whole, I was like, they should have done it and acknowledged that the other Ghostbusters existed or said something before that movie came out that this is an alternate universe.
So I told you my thought is since it was shot in Boston and not shot in New York, they should have been like a franchise or like a...
Well, right. Like, yeah, that's what I mean. Like acknowledge that the other two movies happened. That's the thing is like, you know, they brought in Bill Murray playing a goofy character. Ernie Hudson plays, what's her name?
Oh, wait, they're not Peter and Winston?
No, they're not the characters.
Why do it?
That's what I'm saying. Is like it did not acknowledge Ghostbusters.
We got, when we signed up for the movie.
What was it called? Hear the Call or something like that?
All the subtitle.
So the girl Ghostbuster movie, not being derogatory or anything, but it is the girl Ghostbuster movie.
So when we signed up for the My Movies Anywhere to like combine like the Disney stuff we bought with iTunes and everything, like we got Movies Anywhere. We got that and Big Hero 6. We got like four movies for free. And so I've never watched it.
It's worth watching once. Yeah. I think I bought it on Black Friday.
I think Haley's seen it a couple times. And she likes it.
There's funny moments in it. There's a few times where I actually laughed, like, you know, because I think that Kate McKinnon was great in it because she just looked like she was having fun. Like she wasn't so serious and she wasn't so goofy that you were like, okay,
yeah,
they're just doing this to do this. But like, I don't know, Kristen Wiig, I can live with or live without. I thought, you know, she's funny in Bridesmaids, obviously, because the movie is supposed to be around her character. But Melissa McBride, As funny as she, or Melissa McCarthy, McBride is a country singer, sorry. Melissa McCarthy, as funny as she is in Gilmore Girls, in the movies that I've seen her in, I don't think she's as funny.
So, I don't find her funny at all. Like, I just...
Leslie Jones. Leslie Jones and Kate McKinnon. And, you know, I've not watched Saturday Night Live probably in 20-plus years. Those two were hilarious in this movie. Like, they had some of the funniest stuff, but I think it was just them riffing. So, like, them just doing what, you know, Saturday Night Live actors do.
So, some of Leslie Jones's stand-up is funny. I don't like her on Saturday Night Live, but I don't like this cast that they have on Saturday Night Live. They're just not funny as a group. The problem is they have too many stand-ups and not enough improv people.
Okay.
So, I think there's that.
But, like, the cast, like, if you look at the cast list, it's just whoever we can grab from any comedy and then we'll throw Ed Begley Jr.
I mean, that's a Paul Feig thing, the director.
Well, because you had Zach Woods.
Oh, okay.
In it.
Did you watch
the... Charles Dance shows up and he's not a bad, like, a real bad guy. Yeah. And I'm like, he should have been, like, the ghost. Yeah.
Did you watch the season finale?
He should have been Sodom Numsby from Golden Child. Yeah.
Did you watch the series finale of Silicon Valley, speaking of Zach?
No, I've never watched it.
Okay. Okay. So.
And I just know him from Office.
Yep.
And that. But yeah, there was like people where you're like, oh yeah, I've seen that guy on that show or that movie or whatever. And that, you know, Paul Feig did what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
And that, and it didn't do well. I mean, it did well enough, but obviously we're not getting a Ghostbusters 2 from that universe.
Probably not.
No, well, we're getting this.
Yeah.
And that. Be lucky if one of them shows up in it. But I don't think they will. Because this universe did not exist in that universe.
And, you know, I think there's a lot of bad blood between Paul Feig's camp and Ivan Reitman's camp.
Sure.
So, you know.
I would be in Ivan Reitman's camp.
Yeah.
If there
was Dan Aykroyd in the Paul Feig one?
I don't remember who all was cameo. I think he might have cameoed in it. But Bill Murray does cameo in it. And it's, like, terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Terrible. Just terrible. Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, like, I think I was surprised that the special effects looked as good as they did in the preview, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, the effects, what, you know, whoever the effects team was great, but it just wasn't, whatever. Annie Potts showed up.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That's the thing. I've only seen this movie once, so I don't remember. Yeah. Dan Aykroyd was a cabbie.
Okay. With Afterlife, I want a montage of them fixing up Ecto-1. Like, it's been sitting around for 30 years. It shouldn't just start up.
Well, that's the thing.
Up.
In the preview, it just is sitting in a storage unit, pretty much. And it's pretty well. Like, you know, I like the thing that they added the whole seat. The gunner seat. Yeah.
The kids did that?
No, the kids didn't do that. One kid falls out and it's like, there's a gunner seat? So... Did you watch this preview?
No, I misunderstood what you said.
Yeah, well, the gunner seat was already there.
Yeah.
Like, the Ghostbusters added it. Yeah, they added it,
so. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of funny that they don't remember, like, ghosts invading New York.
Well, I don't think it's that. I think it's that the kids never were told because, you know, the mom knows, you know, who they are.
Oh, that's why they're...
But it's on YouTube, so it's like, not like, it's not common knowledge that Ghost hadn't been seen since Ghostbusters 2, pretty much.
So... They busted all the ghosts, and now, here we go.
Obviously, we'll find out, but... I mean, for a teaser trailer, it was fun, you know? Like I said, it's cool that they made Finn Wolfhard is going to be Egon's grandson. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, he kind of looks like him.
He does kind of look like him.
It's like, that's cool.
I like Finn Wolfhard. He's my favorite of the kids on Stranger Things. And he was good in it, too. I didn't see Chapter 2 yet, but he was good in the first chapter.
It just came out today.
Did it? Okay, I'll have to get it. All right, Wonder Woman 1984. That was the other
big trailer.
Is that
what they're calling it, 1984 or 84?
It's 1984 or WW84.
You're looking at Wikipedia. Wonder Woman. That's not real.
So,
Internet Movie Database.
The IMDb. Yeah. IMDb Wonder Woman 1984.
Is that Wonder Woman 1984? Oh, okay.
But
at first it was 84, so.
Yeah, I know. They kind of went back and forth, but this one comes out on June 5th.
Call it Wonder Woman 2.
Wonder Woman Dose.
I like the description on Internet Movie Database. Plot unknown. A sequel to the 2017 superhero film Wonder Woman.
Okay. I like this trailer. I thought this was a good trailer.
Yeah.
It showed like a good bit of action. It showed a little bit of Chris Pine. Doesn't give you a whole lot of like why he's back.
No spoilers.
Pedro Pascal was good.
Has Robin Wright listed? Didn't she die?
There's flashbacks to.
Okay.
Did you not watch the trailer?
Is that what it is? Is that what it is? Is flashbacks?
Yeah, with her as a little kid.
Okay.
She's probably thinking back to like training. So.
Well, I mean, she obviously goes back to the island because she gets the Kingdom Come armor, yeah,
which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Is that? So is that Gal Gadot in the armor, or is it someone else?
Yeah, it's Gal Gadot in the armor. Why wouldn't it be? Well, didn't you watch the trailer?
I did. She just looks short. So
I think Gal Gadot actually is short.
Oh, I don't know. But anyway, yeah, Kristen Wiig is going to be Cheetah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, she couldn't work with Ghostbusters. Now she's in Wonder Woman.
Right.
Well, it looks like Maxwell Lord's going to be pulling one of his little mind trick things, and that's where Cheetah's going to come into play, as they say.
So are they, do you think, so I mean, Pascal's Maxwell Lord, obviously. Do you think they're going to go like the brother eye thing and she's going to kill him, or?
No, I don't think it'll be like, why would they use that in 1984?
See, I don't know. That's why.
Yeah,
I'm
that wouldn't
curious.
Make any sense. I don't know.
Good cast though, like good cast. I feel like they've got some good people showing up for this one.
I like that Pedro Pascal is not even noticeable as, you know, himself.
Right.
You know, well, the little bit of the fat suit
little
weight, type thing. Yeah.
The hair, the wig.
Yeah. But yeah, that armor. Was on that was her yeah,
okay
yeah
so that armor was cool, and I like when the wings fly off and oh you're watching it again.
Yeah, I was looking at the fight scenes again because the fight scenes look pretty epic.
Yeah, I like when she whips the lasso and like kind of like clears out the guys and then riding the lightning with the
yeah,
lasso.
Yeah, the lightning was
cool.
The lightning was cool, but yeah, that's her in the armor.
Okay. Yeah, Haley, when Haley and I were watching it, she was like, stupid Zeus. So well, she's all in on the Percy Jackson stuff.
Yeah.
So like she's reading
I'm
the
liking
books.
That he's sort like sporting yeah. the belt.
Yeah, all the fanny pack.
The fanny pack, yeah. God.
Yeah, she's talking like about the Percy Jackson movies now, and she calls Logan Lerman the fake Percy Jackson.
The fake Percy Jackson.
Because he doesn't have the same description as in the book, and the same with
really? They yeah, like the difference?
The same with
he's different.
Annabelle with Alexandria Daddario.
Yeah.
Because she's dark haired, and in the books, she's blonde. And yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So she's
wow.
calling them the fake by those character names. It's like, get
fair
over
enough.
It.
It's
like,
an
get,
adaption.
Get over it. Get over it.
She's allowed to do that.
I know, but I don't want her to be that set in her ways at 12.
But that she's like, this isn't good enough.
Yeah, exactly.
Because obviously it wasn't good enough if they didn't do a third one.
Yeah. I don't know. Those movies are fun. They're not.
They're fun,
they're
but
not great,
for the people who are fans of the books.
Oh yeah.
It's kind of like if they did Kingdom Keepers, because I read the first Kingdom Keepers book that is a Disney
okay.
thing, where it's a Disney world where they've come up with the idea of using holographic children to guide you if you need guided in Disney World, like if you need help or something. You know, obviously. Cutting out the union workers and all that stuff. that's what I joked about when I read it. But the program that they use glitches. So okay. the kids who were recruited to record all those stuff are real kids. And it glitches, and they start having nightmares and dreams about the park and okay. something going on in the park. Well, then they start figuring out that they're not having nightmares, that they're actually linked to their holographic images, and they're living this.
Yeah.
So at certain points they get chased by the Pirates of the Caribbean through the park, and the villain of the book is Maleficent.
Okay.
And I'm like, if they ever do that movie, they have to cast Angelina Jolie as
yeah.
Maleficent.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm like, you can't legitimately do that and then not have Maleficent her in that movie. I don't know. Like everyone has a different villain, yeah. So it's one of those things.
That's funny.
That's I don't think Disney would ever adapt those into movies unless they were really just bored.
Yeah.
And that they're good. Like the first book was good. I haven't read any of the other ones, but the first book was good, and it's Ridley Pearson. Oh, so, cool. You know, obviously he knows what he's he's doing, but I'm like, it was fun. I thought, man, this would kind of be a cool thing because a lot of it takes place in the park at night. So I'm like, they could totally film this movie in the park because there's nobody there at night.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And shut it down at 6 o'clock and just be like, we're filming a movie.
Movie time. Beat it. Yeah, I've been reading the Expanse books.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Well, you're watching the show, so.
Yeah, I'm all caught up on the show. The fourth season drops on.
Is the main character blonde instead of redheaded?
Nope. He's described pretty much like.
Why has it got to be a he? Why can't it be an it?
It should be. Anyway.
Totally.
All right. So.
Was there another trailer?
Oh, The Boys. Season 2.
Yeah, that looks cool.
That does look cool. More blood. I really loved the first season.
More blood.
So did you read the comic before you saw the season, right?
I read the comic years ago when it came out.
Because I'm not the biggest Garth Ennis fan.
Right. I think I read The Boys because of Preacher.
Okay.
And that, but The Boys came out like.
Did you read the whole run? Like the
No, I didn't read the whole run. I read like the first two trades. And then I think it just kind of lost me at a certain point.
So I keep thinking about doing like the
because they got the powers.
The boys
eventually get the powers.
They use the Compound V.
Yeah, and I was just like, you know,
because that was the big thing in the book.
That wasn't the comic funny. Like at that point, the funny of it kind of ran out.
Well, and because he injected Huey like against his will, sort of thing. It was but Billy did. So I went back and read the first two trades after watching the first season.
Okay,
and I think the comic is awesome. Yeah. I'm glad they made some of the changes that they did.
Right. That's what I was, you know, my thing was that they changed things and it was fine.
I think like using the deep, the way they used the deep was good.
Yeah.
Because,
you know. Well, I mean, in the book, it wasn't as much focus on the heroes of the story. So, you know, that was the difference in the show was that. And I didn't have a problem with that.
I'll be interested.
Especially when it got to the end and you started finding out, like, stuff about them.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, this is fine.
I want to see who Black Noir really is, like, if they've followed that from the comic.
Oh, like, who it is in the comic
book. Yeah, who's under the mask. Yeah. So, that would be interesting.
It's the President of the United States.
President Redford.
That's a different show altogether.
Yeah, it is. Which we have to talk about that soon. One more episode.
I watched that last night.
It's so good.
That was crazy. That was kind of weird.
I really like what they're doing with
Ozymandias. Lindelof gets the time travel stuff, though.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
right?
I mean, like if you go back and watch Lost, it's like, oh, yeah, he got it. And then it's like when him and the writing team on this wrote this episode, I'm like, yeah, everything's happening at once for John, so
right, it was, that's why I liked it. But yeah,
and it totally makes sense now about why Jeremy Irons is on Europa.
Well, you were technically right. You said he was on the moon,
Europa. I said Europa, moon of Mars, or moon of Jupiter.
You said he was on the Earth moon.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I didn't say that.
Yeah, he did.
Because when he walks out, you can see Jupiter in the background.
Well, that was.
I said he was on Europa.
Okay.
You literally can see Jupiter, like, when he walks out of the shield. And I'm like, oh, hey, he's on Europa.
So, but,
because
that's No, it was before he got catapulted.
Oh, I said he was on the moon.
Yeah, you said he was on the moon. And it was like, which was a perfectly fine guess. But when he walked out,
I was like, oh, yeah, he's on Europa.
As soon as he was free of the garden.
As soon as I seen Jupiter, I'm like, I know where he is.
Yep.
Because that's, you know, that moon is where life could be other than on Earth.
Yep.
Like in, you know, Arthur C. Clarke used it in the 2001 sagas, those books and that. So
it's been used a lot.
You know, I don't think it's been used a lot. Otherwise, everybody would be like, hey, let's just, I think Europa Report was the other one that was a big like use of it. But yeah, Arthur C. Clarke just did it because of the science of it, mm-hmm. that it really could be the next place that some life would exist.
Yeah.
And it makes sense that that's why you see Dr. Manhattan create life on that moon.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, it was really cool. All right.
I like that the warden,
yeah.
that they revealed that the warden actually is the original one that John created. Mm-hmm. And that, and I'm like, oh, okay. Did his wife die? Like that version's wife
I think
wife
we'll
died.
Find out.
Yeah.
So
eventually.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to like reveal everything about
oh, no.
everything. So.
I did like the scene where he was, where he flushed the little, squids into the thing to make it rain squids.
Yeah.
That was fun. Cause yeah. he's just fucking with people at this point.
Well, yeah, it was that whole thing that, you know, that still keeping people scared yeah. of the alien incursion. So
good stuff.
Jeremy Irons in this has been like really awesome.
Oh yeah.
And that I like that they actually got him in the Ozymandias
mm-hmm.
outfit
a couple times
and that. So, you know, that was fun. And then I think that, having the actor who played Cal play Dr. Manhattan
mm-hmm.
was both cool and disturbing
yeah.
at the same time because yeah. it was just weird seeing him bald.
Yeah.
And that, and thinking, oh, yeah, that's Black Manta.
Right.
But that fight scene toward the end was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, the music in this show has been really well done. Like the original music and the.
Yeah.
stuff that they've used. So, and you know, I'd be curious to see where season two goes.
Regina Hall is awesome.
Oh yeah, yeah.
She's so good.
Yeah. I think he got lucky casting her on Leftovers mm-hmm. and that, and just carrying it over
oh,
to
yeah.
this and that. I just the thing is hilarious that like I remember her from there was a what was that show? It was Sherman Hemsley. I think it was called Amen, where he played a preacher,
yeah,
and
I remember that.
She was his daughter yep. or something, and then she was in Friday, and you know, it's funny that you think back, and you're like, wow, she really did like start with comedic roots, and like now she's a great like drama
That's
actress.
That's why she has
that.
Such good timing
yeah.
on everything
I just,
that she
man,
does.
She's been good. Luke Gossett Jr.
Yep.
has been awesome, and that, and you know, the rest of the cast has
I
been
like
great.
The little... tidbit about Mrs. T's daughter
yeah
mother thing
yeah.
that was cool yeah but we can talk about all that later but you definitely need to watch the finale because wow and
yeah.
if you haven't watched it you've got a
was that
little
the
under a week
finale
one, no that was the
one more
that was the penultimate episode
oh.
it could have totally been the finale because of the way it ended
they could have left it like cliffhanging
and because it's already picked up for a second season
right
but they I think the next one is longer than an hour
oh
so,
okay
I mean this one was a minute or an hour and 4 minutes but
it went
still,
fast
it did
like
it
this
so
this
fast.
when it was over I'm like wait a minute that's the end and then I started like
yeah
popping through the credits and I'm like did they do something at the end? And then I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, wait. I had to go back,
well,
and I started watching, and I'm like, oh, God.
The credits came up, and it still said there was, like, 9 minutes left.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, cool, there's, like, a featurette at the end
yeah.
or something. And I started popping through and got – the minute I saw, you know, Jeremy Irons, I stopped it and started watching. But
do you think he'll save Dr. Manhattan?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
So, because he wants to get home.
Yeah.
So.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk The Gunslinger, Chapter 5, The Mandalorian.
Why did you do it like that? You should have been like, The Mandalorian, Chapter 5, The Gunslinger.
I was doing
the most boring episode yet.
Are you kidding me?
Boring. Boring.
Why was it boring? Why did you find it boring?
I just hang out in the desert, talk to Tusken Raiders, and shoot at each other for a little while, and then do stuff that makes no damn sense whatsoever.
So you've just described all of Star Wars.
They don't hang out in the
kidding,
desert
kidding,
that
I'm
much.
Kidding. I really like this episode. I thought it was cool.
This is not the best episode of the series
I
yet.
I did not say it was the best episode.
This
I
is the worst
really
episode of the series yet.
All right. So just kind of spoilery, but one thing. So Ming-Na Wen shows up, finally.
Yes.
Amy Sedaris from Strangers with Candy, who I absolutely adore, shows up as the mechanic. And then the other bounty hunter is Jake Cannavale.
Okay.
Who is his dad is Bobby Cannavale.
Is that Bobby's son?
Yeah. Okay. So like he looked just like him.
Yeah.
So I was like, is that? And like, yeah, so I looked it up. The guy that was the Tusken Raider was a deaf actor, so they were using ALS.
Okay.
Which was kind of interesting. So
I thought you were gonna say it was Taika. Taika was one of the Tusken Raiders.
Oh my god.
And he played the Dewback too.
I like that they went to Mos Espa. Or did they go to Iceland?
No, they were in Iceland.
Oh, they did go to Iceland.
They
talked about Espa.
About
Espa, yeah.
Yeah.
I do not think Finnick is dead. I mean, not when, because there's no reason to bring her in to the show.
She's an alien. It's not like her biology is the same. Right. It's like, you know, it's like talking about the child. He ages differently. Chewbacca ages differently.
Yep.
And that she's an alien who got shot in the stomach and it didn't affect
her. The youngling ages.
She's healing.
Yeah, right. Who do you think?
The Mandalorian picked her up.
You think it was Mando?
I think it was the Mandalorian.
I think it was Apollo Creed.
I thought that too, like Greef Karga.
So, when it comes to Greef Karga.
The only thing that makes sense with that is the thing that they didn't show that I say was the dumb move in the whole thing. If that kid thought he was going to make a name for himself, mm-hmm. wouldn't he contact the head of the
right.
guild?
Immediately.
So, like, did he contact him and they just didn't show that? And we're going to get that
in a
line in the next episode or the next whenever episode.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah.
So, I will say.
I'm kind of like the whole thing with hyping people on this show is just getting tedious now because I'm like Gina Carano's hyped, shows up at Star Wars Celebration. One episode. Ming-Na Wen. One episode, maybe.
Apollo Creed, 2 episodes.
Yeah. So I'm like, you overhyped people.
So I think, but Gina Carano.
Not that I am disliking the show. I'm just like.
Gina Carano is a series regular, though. Like, she's listed as.
So is Apollo Creed.
I know. I think they're doing a little too much world building.
No, the world building's already there.
Right.
You showed too much. In a trailer,
yeah,
you brought people out on a stage mm-hmm. in Celebration where it's like, these people are going to be on the show. Like, and you're like, well, they've only been on a total of 3 episodes together and we've watched 4 episodes.
Yeah, this was
and
5.
And we've got, well, yeah, it's like, but, you know, and then we've got, what, 3 more to go?
Yep, 3 more to go.
So I'm like, don't overhype people.
Yeah.
You know? No. I mean, Giancarlo Esposito is supposed to be in it.
Right.
Where? Yeah. When?
I
Why?
Tell you what I do not like about the show.
What's that?
Is the fucking tracking fobs.
Why?
They're bounty hunters. Their whole thing is to go find them. I have this fob. All I got to do is, like, you know, look at the coordinates of where they are.
Yeah,
so,
know.
I don't know. I don't like that.
Had to make it a little easier on them.
See, I don't like that. It's a complicated profession.
Maybe.
This was a Filoni-directed episode.
Do you think that Boba Fett wasn't using a tracking fob to trace, like, the Millennium Falcon? How do you think that he was following it so well?
I don't know.
He's not that good. And anybody who's saying that this is Boba Fett that picked up...
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Stop.
Like, if it's Boba Fett...
Just stop.
I'm probably going to stop watching the show.
That's when it's like, huh? Why? What? You know. Not that I wouldn't like to see, like, Daniel Logan come back as Boba Fett. But not on The Mandalorian.
No. Boba Fett and The Mandalorian is rotting in the belly of the Sarlacc.
Yeah. Sadly. Sadly.
Because he was a douche.
I don't think it was that.
Not Daniel Logan.
No. Boba Fett, like, you know, they didn't give him enough story anyway. So it's like, nobody can say that he was good or bad because it's just, he was in a few scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. You know, it wasn't like it was Darth Vader or something.
No. I mean, I like the way they used Boba Fett in the Clone
Wars.
The
mystery of the character is what made that character cool.
Yeah.
The mystery of the Mandalorian is what's making him cool, I think. Mm-hmm. So
I like the Mando. I mean, he's a good
character.
I like
a little bit more flashbacks.
Yeah.
Does it have to be every time that the the builder is building him armor that he gets a flashback.
Maybe that's what it is. So I did.
Somebody
like
give me a hammer and a mold so I can just hit it and like you know get to see flashbacks.
Just play the end of Endgame or Endgame interactive with the hammer.
Exactly.
The beginning the dogfight was pretty cool in space.
See, and I'm like, but the dogfight was just one of those things where it's like, could we have gotten a little bit more detail?
Yeah.
How this guy tracked them down that fast or where they were at or.
And is he after the Mando? Is he after the kid?
And then me being like the Star Wars nerd I am, as soon as I seen the planet, I went, hey, Tatooine.
Yup.
I'm like, why Tatooine?
Why not Tatooine? So people would think it's Boba
Fan
Fett.
Fan service.
Yeah, well, there's
fan that. Service.
So, see, that's why I wish they would have gone to Mos Espa.
Still would have been fan service. Because then you would have been like, where's the Boba? You know? Where's Watto?
Dead?
No, there would have been that would have been the other thing. That would have been the whole thing like, you know, you got the Three Stooges from the Star Tours ride working for the.
Yeah, I saw that. They should have gone to Tashi Station. To get some power converters.
Yeah, that would have been, you know, but then people would have been like, why are they going to this place?
And for the power converters.
Then you're like, they should have, like, visited the Skywalker farm or whatever you want to call it, the Lars farm, so we could have seen the gravestones. Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, and then the whole Boba Fett thing. I'm like, what?
I think the whole reason they put it on Tatooine is so people would think that at the end of the episode.
Why would they do that, though?
Because to
they haven't done anything like
going.
That yet.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's Filoni.
And who was the gunslinger?
The Mandalorian?
Was he?
It's a Western, right?
Yeah, but that should have been the last one. That should have been the one in the village should have been called the gunslinger.
Yeah.
It was fine, but it wasn't the best episode.
I liked it. It's not the best episode.
I was like, when it was over, I'm like, that was it?
I still stand for number 3 as the best episode so far.
Yeah.
And that was super fan service as well. Yeah. No, that was the one with all the Mandalorians coming out and fighting.
Was that 3?
Yeah. The village was number 4. No, number 2 was the Jawas.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, yeah.
With the Mudhorn.
That one's a little higher than the Gunslinger, but it's still like that one's kind of the same.
Number 2 is my least favorite.
Yeah.
But.
Gunslinger was probably my least favorite so far.
It's fair. Again, I think the show looks really good. I think
it's well done and enjoyable. I said, just build towards something.
I think Kenny put it best in his post. It's getting kind of light. They got to start adding some substance to it.
I don't feel that way about it. I mean, it's got the substance. It's just, where's it going? That's not making it light. That's not making it light. It has the substance there. The story is there. It's just, where is the story going? Like, you have 3 episodes left, and we're not getting much detail on anything.
Is somebody
going to reveal who the child, why the child is there, or why the child is a valuable asset?
Right.
That's mainly what I'm like. That's the only thing I really need to know.
So this show,
I don't need to know the Mandalorian's whole origin. I don't need to know Grief Karga's origin. I'm just like, just give me a little bit of detail on where the child's from. Yeah. You don't have to name the race. You don't have to, but like, why all of a sudden does a Yoda type creature show up and is the most valuable target in the universe that every single freaking guild member is trying to track that thing down?
That's been around since the Clone Wars.
But all of a sudden it's valuable. Right.
Well, wouldn't he have been valuable?
Like, as soon as he was born?
Right.
Well, he was probably like this small. He was like a little, he was like a walnut
He was walnut with little ears.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
the ears, and that's it.
Ears. Now, I don't want to necessarily see Ahsoka and Sabine.
You aren't going to see Ahsoka and Sabine.
But I'm saying, like, it would be interesting if what it's heading towards is him getting Baby Yoda to where someone is taking care of other younglings.
What other younglings?
Well, I don't know. That's the
right.
Thing.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm
this
saying.
This is the problem.
Like, you're world building a world that doesn't exist in their minds.
And so, you know, I think there's a definite Baby Yoda problem to this show, because
the first problem is everybody calling him Baby Yoda. Well,
okay.
The child.
Let me use your phrase. There's a youngling problem with this show where there's just, it doesn't do anything. It's just cute.
It's entertaining.
It is entertaining. Like when he was sitting there drinking the soup, watching them fight, that was hilarious. You know, when he comes walking out of the Razor Crest in the, you know, the mechanics bay, that was really funny and cute. And
he's you mean like, when he was manipulating the mechanic?
And he raises his arms up like, pick me up. You know, but I would like to just see more out, like, of why he, like you're saying, why he's there.
Well, right. That's what I'm saying. We need to know where he came from to know that.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of that is, what's the deal? Why is he important? We know he has the Force. Like, he can use the, manipulate the Force because of the midichlorians in his system.
And there's no Vader. But, there's no Emperor at this moment. Like, who is really trying to track down Force-sensitive
The First Order.
The First Order isn't around yet.
You said the First Order was around the whole time that the Emperor set that up, put them out in the Outer Rim.
That was after the First Order was the like the fall. So like remember how
the fallback?
Remember how Thrawn was the fallback?
Yeah.
So that was the First Order, but that wasn't until after Jakku. So we're still years away from that, from the First Order being a thing where
Jakku would have happened already.
No,
this is 6 years after Return of the Jedi, right?
Yes.
The Battle of Jakku would have happened about 5 years after Return of the Jedi. If you look at the history.
Okay. So in the book, so just strictly saying what they're calling canon. I'm saying quote unquote canon, right? After Jakku falls.
Yeah.
Rey Sloan and Brendel Hux.
Yeah.
Fuck off out to the Outer Rim.
Sure.
With Hux's stormtrooper training program that involves kidnapping human children and indoctrinating them.
Right.
So it's still they're still years from being the First Order.
But you told me that the Emperor was the one who set up the First Order, like he set up the program.
Well, he has like
and who's Snoke in this whole thing?
See, that's the thing. Like this is why I'm so curious about this. Like, are we building towards like tying it into the movies?
You have to
like are we expecting this to like time jump so that we get to the point like 20 years 30 years later when
I don't think it's gonna
the Force Awakens happens.
No.
So
I don't think you're gonna get a time jump, but I think like, that are they gonna eventually you're gonna see something that ties it to the future.
Are we gonna get Sebastian Stan playing a younger Luke Skywalker where they hand this kid off to it to him?
No, because they don't trust the Republic. They don't trust the Republic.
Like, I don't like.
He's part of the Republic now, or the New Republic.
The New Republic.
Yeah.
But anyway.
But I mean, they think it's a joke.
Yeah.
Like, most of the citizens in this universe at this point are like, oh, it's another upstart government. Yeah. Hey.
Oh, boy. Thank you.
So, you know.
With no real plan on how to actually rule the galaxy except for a new Senate. Oh. Wow, that worked out well last time.
That we're going to just move around.
Yeah.
So they're better off at, you know.
It's a traveling circus.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Jakku took place 5 years after.
5 years. Okay, so Jakku
just took place. Right, yeah.
Okay. So, but the First Order isn't like.
So that would make sense that they would be like wanting to like know what this thing is.
Yeah.
And that they're using the old governors of the Empire, the First Order is. Well, not moths per se, but, you know, governors of the systems and that. So moths were a different level than governors were. Like, moths were above governors.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, a moth was grand. Not really. The only one who was grand was Tarkin. They were all like those guys in the Death Star were all moths, which could be like a high admiralty type thing. So,
yeah. Well, they were a lot of times civilians as well.
Well, right.
They weren't military people.
But if they come into the system, the governor, you know, capitulates to them as the head of whatever's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that because there was governors that were assigned to certain systems after Palpatine disbanded the Senate.
Okay, so at this time, it says here that the New Republic is still operating on Chandrilla, which was Mon Mothma's home planet.
Well, sure.
While this is totally happening. They haven't started moving around. Blah, blah, blah. So, yeah. It doesn't... Like, there's no definitive answer to when this is happening yet until they tell us.
What? Mandalorian?
Like they're saying it's between 5 and 6 years. So it could be right before the Battle of Jakku. It could be right after the Battle of Jakku.
Jakku could be going on.
Or, yeah, it could be happening as it's going. But that wasn't a super long battle. I don't know.
At that point, the Empire's crippled anyway. Yeah. So,
I mean, the Empire's crippled now with the way they're
going. I mean, their fleet. So.
Oh, the fleet, that,
yeah. That's why it's an easy fight.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll find out.
We got 3 more episodes for this season for them to set up what they're doing with season 2.
I think that she, like, what was her name? What was Ming-Na's character's name again?
Fennec.
I think she ties to the Mandalorian, that they knew each other.
Yeah.
Because she kind of didn't react to him like, you know,
most people have.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, a Mandalorian. Yeah. Is that real Mandalorian armor?
She made a sarcastic comment about him being a Mandalorian. Yeah. And I'm like, maybe she knows him or knows about them.
Yeah.
And, you know, but like, he didn't know she was even like, he just came there for repairs.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he wasn't trying to pick up on a job. I like that EV99 was running the cantina.
Yeah, that was cool.
So. They're allowing droids now.
It's a droid friendly cantina.
Yeah.
So
there was no blaster bolts on the walls though, where Han shot and Greedo shot.
Yep.
McGillicunky or whatever.
McClunky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't care. That stuff don't bother me.
I'm excited for Friday to watch the next one.
Yeah.
So.
Oh yeah.
Week on Wednesday.
I look forward to it. It's like, you know, it's not one of those things where I'm like, I hate this show now. It was just like, this one was kind of boring.
See, I didn't find it kind boring, though.
Just plodding along.
I liked the whole
scene. If you said that the stuff, village episode was a Star Trek episode.
I never said that.
Well, no. You were saying that people said that.
That's what people were
this
saying.
One,
this was
this,
definitely, yeah.
This was
mean,
a Star Trek episode.
But
they even like had a fight in the desert. I mean, that's Star Trek right
all
there.
All that was missing was the
the rocks.
Yeah, the rocks, too. And the overhand axe handle like thing that,
yes,
that Shatner always did.
That would be awesome actually if they did the hand. But see, but, like, he doesn't get in the hand to hand combat like on a normal basis because the helmet can't come off.
Yeah, and we saw what happened when he went up against Cara Dune.
Yeah.
So
he gets smacked around a lot.
Yeah, he got smacked around a lot. So anyway.
But you know, on a whole, this show's good. It's just, you know, every show has a weak point, so.
You know, like, I wouldn't call this episode necessarily filler, but I think
this is the most fan service of any episode so far.
In 4 weeks, we'll be able to look back and say if this was filler or not.
Yeah.
So.
But, like, this was the most fan service so far. Going to Tatooine and that, because I'm like, you could have went anywhere.
It didn't have to be Tatooine. Yeah,
it didn't have to be. Why did you jump? Like, why did you jump the Tatooine system anyways? Like, is it, you know, just a known place that you could go hide? And then I'm like, everybody
like
will find you
really
there.
It's a really stupid place to hide because it's a hive of scum and villains.
Yeah, that's what I was like. No, it was clean and nice. And it looked, like somebody had come
under
there.
It's under new management.
Somebody came up in there and cleaned that place out.
It was like Giuliani back in the day when he got elected to be the mayor of New York, and all of a sudden all the homeless people disappeared.
Yeah, because he
Where'd
sent them
they
to Russia.
No, he sent them to New Jersey.
Isn't that Russia?
No. It's some weird backwater part of Italy.
I just want an explanation of how Vietnam could be made the 51st state of the United States. Like, how is that possible?
Because we won the war.
Why didn't they send him to other places then?
Right.
You know?
Anyway.
Hey, Dr. Manhattan, you can travel through time, right? Well, why don't you just go to Nazi Germany and take care of that for us, too?
Hey, we got some things we want you to finish before they start.
Yeah, exactly.
We just need you to go to Hawaii.
Could you just make sure that George Lucas doesn't do that prequel trilogy?
Or if he does, just make him do it right.
Yeah. Like, you know, Irvin Kershner was still alive. Why couldn't you let him direct one of those? That's it. That's it right there. George Lucas can write them all.
Oh, yeah.
Let somebody else direct them.
We've said that several times over the 5 years we've been doing
it. I feel like, you know, the reason why Empire Strikes Back is so good is not because of George Lucas. It's because of Irvin Kershner, you know, and that's what that series needed was rotating directors.
Yes.
I think, you know, JJ doing two of them, it might be all right. But we'll see. At that point, you should have just let JJ do all three of them.
Well, I think he wasn't available for all three at the time.
What did he do?
I don't know.
What did he do?
I think he had a bunch of TV stuff. But
he's got minions for that stuff.
I think the problem, like, you know, you want to talk about the problem of, like, the director discontinuity is we had a director who wrote his own story in the middle of a planned trilogy.
Yeah.
And it didn't necessarily tie into the goals of what they wanted to get to. So I'm really...
But nobody will ever admit that.
No. And I'm really curious to find out what Colin Trevorrow's vision for episode 9 was. That caused him to have creative differences when
that's,
he left.
That's the thing that Lucasfilm misses the boat on for merchandise, mm-hmm. is not releasing the scripts of these artists who left.
Yeah.
You know, because, hey, you know, let's see what they were going to do. Why not?
I'd be interested to find out.
Or, like I said, do the Marvel What Ifs.
Yeah. So.
Because those books are petering off, so.
We can pretend like The Last Jedi was a Star Wars What If and do a new episode 8.
I'm sure, we'll get the explanation that is necessary for that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, the characters that were in it, Rose Tico.
Yeah, they're still around.
Is in it, so, you know, that's fine.
But I think they had to scramble a little bit to come up with how they were going to end
it. I think it was one of those things where JJ was just like, freaking, why? And why did I say yes?
To the first one or the third one?
Or probably both. It's probably like, I could have done another Star Trek movie.
You liked the Force Awakens.
I thought the Force Awakens was well done. It's a lot of repeat of stuff and that, but, you know, going back, like watching it in the theater and being hyped up for it is different than going back and watching it multiple times. And you're like, this is very similar to something else I've seen
where
that
you
came
out
in
apart.
Like 1970s, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm like, it's fine. Last Jedi, it's fine.
Yeah.
And
I think Rogue One, since Disney took over, is probably the best movie they've done.
Rogue One and Solo have been better to me than
I think Solo.
I want them to do that. I want them to just do Star Wars stories.
I think Solo is the funnest Star Wars movie they've made yet.
Yeah.
And it's a shame that it was a sacrificial lamb from a certain part of the Star Wars fandom. Not going to see it, you know, because they were unhappy.
Because they were unhappy about Last Jedi. Why wouldn't you just go see a Star Wars movie? Like, if you're...
That's what I don't understand.
I don't know. I guess that makes me a little bit more of a diehard fan than most fans.
I also think that, like, the production woes that it had turned some people off. But...
Fairweather fans.
I enjoy it. It's... Yeah. Since it came out on digital and I bought it the day it came out, you know, I've probably watched it at least 10 times.
I've watched it more than Force Awakens.
And I've watched
Rogue One and Solo more than I've watched Force Awakens and Last Jedi.
I really like watching Rogue One and then Star Wars right back to back.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah. That makes sense.
But.
You could literally do that kind of trilogy and do Solo, Rogue One, and Star Wars together.
Yeah.
And that kind of would be a fun night to watch those three together.
Yeah.
But I don't rush. What? I've had Disney Plus for a month.
Yeah.
And I haven't watched any Star Wars movies.
I watched episode 3 just because I wanted to see it in 4K.
Okay.
That was it.
I haven't watched any of them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Does that make me a bad fan?
No, it does not.
No, you own multiple versions. Probably of spent the
more money on Star Wars stuff than most people I know. And I'm talking like everything that I've ever spent money on for Star Wars. I own books that cost like $100 a piece, yeah, or $200 a piece.
You are a Star Wars
there
consumer.
There was a moment of celebration where I stopped myself from buying a $200 book. And I'm like, but I'm still a fan.
Wait, this past celebration?
Yeah.
When you were walking around the whole time, I haven't spent any money.
I literally, like, there was a day.
It was the last day that
there
you spent
was a
all
day
your money.
Where I, like, kept going back to the book kiosk that was,
yep,
like, near Joe's booth.
Yeah.
I forget who it was. Del Rey or
something.
Yeah,
somebody. It was Del Rey.
But they had those art books that were like
$200. Those big hardback ones.
I don't know. Because then my theory on that is 2 years from now, I'll be at Barnes & Noble and I'll be on the markdown tables and I'll be like, son of a...
$20.
Damn it. Well, it'll be like $50. And it's like, okay, why did I do that?
Yeah.
But when I bought the books that I bought that were $100 and $200, you knew those weren't going to be redone because it was one of those things where one was Industrial Light of Magic. It was like literally an explanation of every trick they did in that, in every movie. So there was, like, besides Star Wars, there was Indiana Jones chapters. There was young Sherlock Holmes chapter because of the first digital effect and all that type of stuff. And that's like a filmmaker's education type book right there. And I'd say
like
still
that Droid Maker book.
Yeah, yeah. But this one was like, you know, had
this
it
was
had
a
the visual
book,
prints, like showing how a matte painting was done and showing how the shot was made with a matte painting. And that, and I'm like, for somebody that was, I think, like 19 or 20 when I bought it.
Yeah.
It was very interesting to learn. Like, I read that book from cover to cover, and it was interesting to learn how the production of a movie works.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, now I'm like, I'm a different kind of movie fan because of that book. And then the other one was called Star Wars Chronicles, and it literally was like just a book that was the archives. Like, it had photos of models and had photos of toys from around the world and, you know, cereal boxes from around the world. So that was like, you know. And I still own both those books. So.
Very cool.
Yeah.
All right.
But yeah, I'm not a fair weather Star Wars fan. I just, quality of story is what I look for.
I mean, I'm super excited for The Rise of Skywalker to come out.
So. I'm not. I'm looking forward to it, but I'm not.
I like.
Whoa!
So I'm excited in the way that I really like going to see Star Wars movies in the theater.
Well, sure. Yeah.
The only one I haven't seen in the theater is Star Wars. Because I was born 6 months later.
Right.
So, 8 months later.
Yeah, and you wouldn't have been old enough to go back and see one of the re-releases of it.
I mean...
Did you see the special editions in the theater, though?
No.
You didn't go see the special editions?
Yeah, no, I
didn't. Oh, okay. I was going
to
say.
Sorry. I had to think about that for a second. But
Well, my thing is if you were a child that was born after Star Wars came out and re-releases were done, and, you know, it started to be multiplexes and all that type of stuff... Your opportunity to see Star Wars in a theater was the special edition.
Yeah.
Some stuff's different, but you know, you could
get
past that.
We had the beta
version
that was the theatrical release. So, like, I was always able to have the theatrical versions.
Right.
So,
yeah, I still
and
have.
And I do,
like,
prefer,
you said, I have the multiple versions. I have that 10th anniversary VHS box set, and that, you know, it's like that.
The
that
one with Vader on it.
No, it was the one with the painting all the way around the box.
That's a cool one.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and that one was cool. And then I've got the one with Vader that was the special edition release.
That was
I've got all those somewhere. And, you know, I've got the DVD release and I've got the Blu-ray release. And now they've re-released them again. And I'm like, I'm not buying those.
No,
like,
4K.
You know, I don't have 4K. So it's like, it don't matter. Yeah. And I'm like, you know, right now they've got the Blu-ray combo digital combo pack for $20 at Target, and I was standing there looking at them going, I'm not paying $20 for just a digital code, because I'm like, at this point it's the same movie that I already have.
I mean, the digital, like, on iTunes,
they haven't changed anything from the Blu-ray release that I got to what they're releasing
now
is, like, up the packaging.
If you really want to watch it on digital, you can pull it up on Disney Plus.
Right, yeah. So yeah. That's what I mean. It's like, you know, unless they decide that, oh, we're going to pull Star Wars off there for a little while.
The only Star Wars movie that's not on there after this month is the last, or is Solo.
Yeah, Solo's got until May, I think May of next year for that contract with Netflix. But Last Jedi shows up the week after Rise of Skywalker comes out.
So,
which, you know, that's fine. But like I said, I'm not in a rush to watch. I haven't watched, besides Mandalorian, I've watched here and there on Disney Plus. So I watched the first episode of the Imagineering story last night. So
okay. We watched that
and
Noel.
I didn't cry.
We watched that Noel movie with Anna Kendrick.
Yeah.
A couple nights ago.
I was happy to see the Santa Claus is on there because I'm like, you know, and then Elva pointed out to me that the Santa Claus 2 and some other movie with a 3 at the end of it that's supposed to have Santa Claus in it.
Okay.
Yeah. I the Santa Claus 3 should have never happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was terrible.
Jingle All the Way is on one of the streaming services right now.
Probably Netflix.
So,
because they're desperate at this point. Like, they're starting to put old movies on there. Like, I'm like, oh, you getting stuff from the Turner Classics library or what? So Ocean's 11, the original Ocean's 11 is on Netflix.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, sure.
Well, Frank Sinatra action.
I don't have enough time to watch all this stuff.
Nope. All right. Well, anything else?
I think I'm done for now.
All right. On that note, we will talk to you guys next week.
Is it, what, 1 week until, or 2 weeks? 2 weeks until Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, no. A week from
next
Thursday.
Next week.
So.
I guess we'll talk about it.
Yep. All right.
Haven't decided yet. bottom five of movies this year.
Least infamous. We should do that. Like, that's our Razzie.
No, we're not doing that.
That's
because
we don't.
Some Variety did that. Yeah. Oh, and everybody went after him because they did the worst movies of this year.
Yeah. See, we typically, like, we try and keep it as positive as we can. So.
I'll tell you when I don't like a movie, but I'll give you a reason why I don't like it.
Not just.
And then I'm not just going to go, these are the top five worst movies of the year.
And you know what's funny is those top five worst movies always do the best on, like, home video.
Yeah, sure.
You know, so.
Anyway. Yeah. That's any Jean-Claude Van Damme movie.
Oh, they're all so good. All right. On
and
that note,
so bad at the same time.
We'll see you guys next week.
Later.
The Infest Podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Sunday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. The show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. You can find more information about the show online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @infamouspodcast to stay up to date on the latest news about the show and what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and we're looking for help to grow the show to bring you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny online at Johnny Podorf, and I'm on most social networks as at Brian Tudor. Music in this episode was provided by Michael Henry from meetmichaelhenry.com. So, whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Later.